Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Lisa, and
Hello, Lisa. Thank you for offering your first name. I forgot to mention that. If you do come online to ask me a question, if you wouldn't mind offering me your first name, it's nice to be able to associate a name to the question. Go ahead, Lisa.
I'm in the Lone Ranger program, and my question is about my mother-in-law. She lives with us. I love her dearly, but she's my mother-in-law, and since my husband and I have been having our problems, she's tended to be on his side. You said you don't want all the drama, and I'm not going to give you all that, but I just don't know how to handle that. How do I want her to support the sanctity of marriage. I want her to support our renewal, but she seems to be telling him things like, you'll be okay, you can get through it, I've been through it, I survived, that kind of thing.
She's been through it, meaning what, she got divorced?
Twice, yes.
So she's a pro.
Yes. And anyway, we've been married 25 years, and I feel that we've been together so long that we need to give it our best efforts,
Lisa, let me stop you there because I got your question.
Okay,
and,
good.
I think I can be helpful. Let me give it a shot here. I want to say a few things that I think will be helpful to you and to others. And even though this is specifically a mother-in-law question, you'll see I'm going to answer it in a way that I think will be helpful even to those of you who don't necessarily have mother-in-laws that you're dealing with. And let me just brace all of you for what I'm about to say. I'm about to give all of you some advice. The chances are pretty good that 90 to 95% of you have already violated this advice. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Nobody gets through these situations without making mistakes, and just because you've made mistakes doesn't mean you're doomed. It's just important to, you know, learn as much as you can learn, as fast as you can learn it, and begin to apply what you're learning as soon as you learn it. So don't worry about the fact that you've probably already blown this. Just don't blow it starting tonight, okay? None of you, you should not be speaking to any family or friends about your marital situation. I know you're all saying, oops. Because it's only natural. When you get into these situations, you're desperate to talk to somebody. You want somebody who will listen. You want somebody who will be on your side. And in some cases, you want somebody who you think can help, and you're hoping that, you know, somebody will be able to convince your husband or wife of such and such. So it's normal, it's natural, but it's a mistake. Don't do it. Why? Why is it a mistake? Number one, it's a mistake because it's a violation of your spouse's privacy. You can't speak to somebody about your marriage without speaking to them about your spouse's marriage, because it's the same marriage. And who says that your spouse gave you permission and wants you to speak to whoever it is about their marriage? It's a very private matter. And it's a total violation of your spouse's privacy to speak to anybody other than a professional about your marital situation. Secondly, not only is it the wrong thing to do, but if your spouse were to find out, and they almost always do, they're going to be very upset. And the worst thing is, they'll be justified. So my first point was really impressing upon you that I think you have a moral obligation. But in case that's not compelling enough to you, the moral obligation is consistent with with what should be tactically your best strategy. In other words, you don't want to upset your spouse, and they're going to be upset, and they're going to be justified. Thirdly, you can't speak to somebody you can't speak to a family or friend about your marital situation without interfering with their relationship with your spouse, right? If you speak to your, you know, mother-in-law or your brother or anybody or a friend, a mutual friend, about your marital situation, conversation, well, obviously you're going to present a certain perspective. I know you think that perspective is right, but nonetheless, it is a certain perspective. And the chances are very, very good that you're not going to put your spouse in the best light, because nobody ever thinks their marital situation is their fault. It's always your spouse's fault. And so it's going to interfere with your spouse's relationship with this person. Well, that's not right. That's not right. You just stepped into and muddled into somebody else's relationship. Not only is it not right, but once again, if your spouse were to find out about it, they're going to be very upset. And they're going to be justified. And so tactically speaking, it's a big mistake as well. Add to that, there's a couple other points here, all sort of supporting the same advice, which is don't speak to family and friends about your situation. So add to that that when you do speak to family and friends and you do interfere with those relationships between your spouse and whoever you spoke to, you are actually erecting hurdles between where you are and a successful reconciliation. Why? Because you're damaging their relationship, your spouse's relationship with this friend or family member. And now, not only does your spouse have to reconcile with you, but in order to come back to the marriage, embrace the marriage, move forward in the marriage, end the affair, stop the divorce, whatever the case may be, now they have to face reconciling with all these people that, you know, you may have slandered them in front of, or whom they now feel awkward in front of, because they know what, you know, because these people know what they did, or even if they don't know what they did, they're thinking that they know what they did. They don't quite know what to think. What does this person know? What does this person think of me? It just creates an awkward situation between them and these people around you. And it creates a situation where your spouse just wants to not only exit the marriage, but they want to exit this whole life and all of these people that are associated with you, that now they might be looking at them in a certain way. And so it's bad enough, it's difficult enough to try, you know, it's a pride-swallowing experience to try to reconcile with your spouse when you feel like in order to save the marriage, you also have to reconcile with your spouse's mother or brother or best friend. It's awkward, it's uncomfortable, and it just ups the ante, and you don't want to do that. Lastly, your friends and family love you. They care about you. And therefore, you will trust them. You will listen very carefully to what they have to say. And you will take their advice very seriously. That's a very dangerous thing. Because your friends and family, while they love you and care about you, they're butchers, bakers, and candlestick makers. And they don't have the first clue about how to go about saving a marriage. They don't have any experience with this. And yet, unlike physical medicine, in other words, like unlike, you know, your physical body and going to a doctor, people feel, for whatever reason, confident and comfortable giving advice about how to navigate through a marital crisis. I don't really totally understand why they do that. If you came to them with a problem, a terrible physical problem with your body, they wouldn't give you advice. They would send you to a doctor. They would suggest you go to a doctor. But for whatever reason, when you come to people with marital crisis situations, you know, they've got all the answers. And they don't have the answers. They very, in most cases, as you may have noticed in this, you know, from what you're learning in this program, in most cases, what is intuitive, what people might think you should do in a marital situation in order for it to succeed, is actually not what you should do. And therefore, in most cases, the advice that you would get from friends and families, while it's well-intentioned, is not good advice. but you're going to listen to it carefully and take it very seriously. Look, I can't tell you how many of you in private sessions say to me, you know, my mother told me this, or my brother told me that, or everybody's telling me to do this. And my question to all of you is, so what? How's that relevant? Why does that carry any weight with you? What makes you think they have any clue what you should do and what steps would lead to this working out the way you want it to work out? And so it's very difficult to resist the advice from friends and family because, again, the fact that they love you and care about you means that you're going to listen carefully. Look, there's two keys to an advisor. You know, whenever you want help with anything, whether it's your marriage, your taxes, you know, or your tennis game or whatever, you want to really make sure that the person advising you has two things: character and competence. Character and competence. If a person lacks either one of those two things, they would not be good people to take advice from. So what do I mean, character and competence? So let's say, for example, you know, you've, God forbid, have to have surgery done. And so you were trying to choose the doctor that's going to perform the surgery. Well, you want somebody with competence. You want somebody who has a track record. You want somebody who's done this hundreds of times before and can do it well again. But that's not enough. I mean, if the person might have competence, but if they don't have character, it's possible that they would be up drinking all night before this, they're going to perform surgery on you. Or it's possible that they're going to, you get the idea. You know, it's possible that they'll do the surgery perfectly, but it's possible that the surgery wasn't necessary. They did it because it's a big paying surgery. So you want, but on the other hand, you know, your priest or your rabbi, who is a person of substantial character, you wouldn't have them do the surgery because they don't have any competence. So it requires both character and competence in order for a person to be a useful expert, a good advisor. So in the case of your family and friends, presumably they have character, but there's no reason to believe that they have any competence. So let me tie all this back into Lisa's question, and I apologize, Lisa, if so far you think that I'm not totally on target. Let me now tie it back in, and I hope you'll see how this directly relates to your situation and your question. Your question is, what should I do about the fact that my husband is speaking to my mother-in-law about these situations and the fact that she's taking his side? Well, the only reason and the only way a person could be taking somebody's side is if they are being informed of the situation. And so the problem is not that she's taking sides. The problem is that the two of you are discussing it with her. So the first thing I would advise you to do is to refrain, beginning immediately, from having any conversation with her whatsoever about your husband or your marital situation. Presumably you already have had some conversation, probably not only with her but with others as well. The second thing I would advise you to do is to express remorse to your husband for those prior discussions and to apologize to him basically for violating his privacy and seek his forgiveness for that. Now, of course, by doing that and committing that going forward, you recognize that this is a private matter and you won't be discussing it with anybody. By doing that, you're essentially binding him to the same covenant. You're binding him to the same agreement. You are implicitly compelling him to do the same. Now, I don't know if he will, and you might ask him, or he might ask you, you know, why do you feel that way? Why is it a violation of either of our privacies? And I think, you know, if he asks, you can feel free to explain to him whatever I have explained to you that you think will resonate with him. But by seeking his forgiveness and by making a commitment to not doing it any further, you'll hopefully be creating a situation where he feels prompted to protect your privacy and to refrain from speaking to your mother-in-law about the matter as well. And so if you don't speak to your mother-in-law about the matter and he doesn't speak to your mother-in-law about the matter, well, then your mother-in-law won't be involved. Now, I know you might be saying or you might be thinking, but my husband won't agree to that, or he's going to talk to her anyway. Or look, if that's the case, there's nothing you can do about that. The most you can do is be an example and try to be an inspiration to your husband to embrace proper behavior and values. If he is not going to follow that lead, if he's going to violate your privacy nonetheless, you know, there's really nothing you can do about that. But you can avoid what bothers you about your mother-in-law. The only reason you would know if your mother-in-law is taking sides is if she's talking with you about it. But if you establish a new precedent that, you know, this is not something that we should be talking about, I love you, my relationship with you is important, but this is a private matter, so then you won't know if she's taking sides or not. And in terms of the influence that she might have on him, I know that was another one of your sort of questions, the influence that she might have on him, I understand your concern, and yes, you are correct. You know, it's never good for people in marital crisis situations to be hanging out with people that are supportive of, you know, an affair or an exit of the marriage or divorce process or anything like that. But that's not something within your sphere of influence. It's something within your sphere of concern, but you want to focus on things within your sphere of influence.